Welcome to the Unboxing Your Packaging podcast, where we pop packaging out of the box thanks to the shared experience of inspiring businesses and experts. I am Colleen Regout from Look for Loops. My passion is to optimize the use of resources and designing out waste. This show aims to help you redesign, reuse, and recover your packaging.
Some people are working every day to care about ocean issues and what is in there or shouldn't have to be. David Katz, the internationally recognized CEO and founder of Plastic Bank, is one of them. His idea is to stop ocean plastic at the source. Thanks to a reward system, people in need collect plastic within 50 kilometers of coastal communities. In this episode, you will discover what social and local value you can get from plastic, what digital wallets and blockchain have to do with it, and how this social recycled plastic is reintroduced into manufacturing. I hope that you will enjoy this episode as much as I did. Let's start.
Welcome, David, at the Unboxing Your Packaging podcast. I am super excited to hear you in real, having seen several TED Talks and other interviews. And I would like to get straight to the point with you, David. Your aim is to stop ocean plastic at the source, right?
Yes.
I am wondering if you have a flagship personal event that brought you into this mission, or can you share an anecdote about a packaging that has changed or reinforced your focus?
Well, you know, Colleen, out of the authenticity of my life, I want to be able to express that there is no one particular event, because we are all the summation, the accumulation of every experience and every decision we've ever made. Difficult then to say if there was one event. Now, did some take me closer into the mission than others? Certainly. Did witnessing the degradation of the marine ecosystems globally during travels influence? Yes. Did, you know, witnessing poverty influence? Yes. Did having a child with special needs influence? Yes. Did the photographs of Chris Jordan, who traveled out to Midway Island to photograph the decomposing corpses of albatross chick, have a significant influence? Yes. But any one of those on their own wouldn't have solidified the action. So it's all things. And what we get to do in that, and in that conversation, is look at all of our lives and everything that has ever occurred and can ever occur as a gift. So where's the gift in all of it? What do I see inside of it? What do I choose? And how do I make my life through all of those gifts?
Wow, that was profound. It's like I can identify, and I guess that the audience will identify themselves as well. So you are the CEO and founder of Plastic Bank. And the idea of Plastic Bank is to reveal the inherent worth of plastic by providing social incentive.
Incentivization, sure, incentives, yeah.
Exactly. So how I understand it, it's about preventing plastic from reaching the ocean where there are no recycling infrastructures. Could you explain how it works in a few words?
Well, you said a few things in there. I'll get to that, because it's not even about preventing it. You see, there's a conversation where many people want to say we should go clean the ocean. It's ridiculous. I mean, important, beautiful, super important work, but that's not going to solve anything. If we just clean up the ocean and don't stop plastic from flowing into the ocean, that'd be futile. It's futile to go and clean the ocean when so much is flowing into it. So it's more than that. What's deeper inside of that? And we go, okay, we stop plastic from entering the ocean. Okay, well, that is as well difficult. Not as futile, but difficult. What we get to do is have material resources viewed differently. So how do I mean? If every piece of packaging or every bottle or every piece of material resources that came into your home, every piece, was worth $5, how many would we see in the ocean? in the canal.
None of them.
In the garbage. None. You see, what's behind all of it is that we've lost sight of the value of the material itself. So our mission really is to reveal the value of the material to such an extent that it's not viewed as waste to begin with. What we're doing is changing the diction. We're moving away from the conversation of a world with waste. It's not. There is no waste. It's all material resources that are returned to manufacturing. That's the mission. And when we do that, everything else takes care of itself.
That's great. And I hear you saying about that in a TED talk that it was like we were walking on a diamond field.
Fields of diamonds. Fields of diamonds.
Yeah. And without having the capacity of exchanging the value of this material. And
well, if there's no bank that you could take the diamonds to, who cares? If there's no monetary standard for diamonds, if there is no exchange methodology for diamonds, they're just rocks anyhow. They're just rocks. They're not even scarce. My goodness. They're just hard little rocks that people polish up and then sell for thousands and thousands of dollars. And the similarity between plastic is evident. I mean, diamonds as well, by type of diamond, by clarity of diamond, by color of diamond, by volume, by mass, same as plastic. It's just that there's agreed upon monetary standard for diamonds, and there's not yet one for plastic. And that's what we're creating.
That's why you call plastic bank?
Plastic bank.
Okay. So you treat really plastic as a money.
Correct.
And I know that it's towards people who doesn't have the opportunity to clean the environment in another way because they don't see the value
they do see the value. They can see the value. See, they're incredibly resourceful. If they're not resourceful, they die. So they see resources around them. It's just that they haven't had the opportunity to exchange it. They're walking over fields of diamonds with no bank. So just presenting ourselves in community and revealing to the community what is available. And it's not even the poorest of the poorest of the poor. Of course, those people we need to affect and work with and support and help end poverty in the world. But it's every single household. It's every mom. It's every dad. It's every child that is at home and looks at all of the materials that come into their house as something that has continuous worth inside of it. Sure, I get the package of fish or I get the bottle of water or whatever it might be. But it's not just what's inside of the packaging that I'm paying for, it's the package as well. And I get to return that and have extra wealth, extra value. So even if it only provides $2 or $3 extra a month. Well, for someone who makes $100 a month, $3 is profound.
Yeah.
So why would someone who only makes $100 a month throw away three? What? Ridiculous. And it's not even money, although certainly available, but it's what the money gets that can be the incentive, like access to school tuition. So when now you can take your household plastic to the school and you can now have the school as the bank and the family learns and the child learns that by stewarding the environment, poverty leaves the family because the plastic helped pay for the tuition, paid for more books, paid for the uniform. And then the school also has an opportunity to make some money to pay for maybe better wages, toys, sports. So the entirety of the school and the education and the thinking now comes grounded, rooted out of the philosophy of environmental stewardship. Or health insurance, illness insurance. Because what happens if the income earner of the family, what happens if the father who would most predominantly be working in flip-flops or some soft-toed shoe is working in a labor job and he's injured and he can no longer work. There's no social security, employment insurance. If he can't work, the family's destitute. No food, no rent. But now they could take their household plastic, return it to the plastic bank location, even the school, and get an insurance package. So that in case something happens to the income earner, their income isn't interrupted.
Great. And when you mentioned...
And on and on.
Yeah. So when you mentioned poor or not poor people, you are implemented in which countries, actually?
We started in Haiti. Crazy. Crazy place. Remarkable people. Then we went to the Philippines. Beautiful, soulful people. We went to Indonesia. Remarkable, kind, generous people. Then we went to Brazil. Also beautiful, great food. And then Egypt. Egypt is so lovely. Oh my goodness, the people are so, it's such a friendly, it's one of the safest countries in the world, contrary to many people's beliefs. So kind, the people are so beautiful in Egypt. And now we're going into Cameroon, Thailand, then next year, Tanzania and Kenya.
Oh, okay. So you expand a lot.
Yeah.
And I hear that your system, it's a deposit system, right?
Yeah.
It's the member bring their collected plastic and its valuable weight is exchanged for digital tokens they can use as they wish.
Yeah, it goes into a digital wallet.
Okay.
The digital wallet provides safety and security and, you know, a savings account. And when it's transacted through the digital wallet, one of the additional value creations is that the collector themselves, over the course of time, as you imagine, if you over the course of the last year, every Monday you returned, you know, 1 kilo of plastic over the course of the last year. Well, I know how reliable you are. I know how consistent you are. And so how is that any different than credit rating? It's not. Same thing. What is your reliability? What is your consistency? So we offer credit worthiness as a result of returning materials. Not only do you have extra money, but now because you've done it, you have the ability to borrow more money. You can actually change your life based on the consistency of the material that you're returning. And even though you can borrow money, you pay back with plastic garbage. You see, it's exponentiality on top of exponentiality. See, it's not just a few dollars a month you get, but what you get to do with the few dollars that makes a big difference.
I like that. And I am wondering, the collection and the reward system to people are super local focused, right?
Yeah.
But where are you recycling?
Locally as well.
Okay.
We want to add as much value in the country as possible. And we continue to build sales teams in the region. So like even Haiti, I mean, there's 10 million people there. There's still some manufacturing there. So the material should be used optimally in the country. And when it's the material is used in the country and someone buys something that is used, that is using the material we collected, they're then participating in the economic development of their own country. And they're also participating in the end of poverty in their own country. Brazil has a 250 million people. Same thing should be occurring there. Indonesia, 250 million people. Philippines, 110 million people. And on and on.
Okay, so it's really a local ecosystem, I will say. Okay.
By locals, and our executive teams in the countries are female-led. It's women-led because there's heart and love and support of family and community and creating value and service. And so we use women to change the world, rightfully so.
That's great. I am a woman. I believe in this.
I believe in it too.
So, but you are men, so I think men has a big part of the work.
When I know something is true, I know something is true. You know, men are typically, you know, very solution focused. They're very, you know, the energy, the masculine energy is to come to completion with things. But this is a ongoing process. The feminine energy is continuation. The feminine energy is to continue to be in the service and to be in, to love and to keep flowing. Feminine energy, you know, it's not, that's not gender based, it's energy based. So feminine energy is continuation. And that's what we need in the world, continuation. Do you see, the world is where it is now because of a masculine energy of completion. I will take from the environment for my own profit. And circularity, circular economy is a feminine energy. That's what we need to instill more of in society.
Like nature, actually.
Like nature. Like nature.
Feminine energy as well.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Right. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I completely other subject, but it makes me think about what you collect, and it's not feminine at all. Oh, maybe a bottle. It's like, I saw your announcement that Plastic Bank has stopped 1 billion bottles of ocean plastic, and so far
we're now 1.3 billion.
Oh, okay. So it's growing super fast.
We're exponentially growing. Yeah, yeah.
Are you using bottle as an easy to communicate item, or maybe because it's feminine because of the shape?
Maybe because it's round.
Is it like more metaphor?
I use it as a metaphor, ultimately. It's a metaphor for plastic packaging.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So it's not the main packaging, or is it the main packaging?
Containers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is predominantly what plastic is. It's a container, right? It contains, you know, potato chips, it contains water, it contains a beverage, it contains a hygiene product, it contains coffee, I don't know, it's a container.
And so thinking about containers, it makes me think also that these are mainly single-use items, I guess.
I think we have to be careful with those words. Because
okay.
I think a lot of people, there's a miscommunication. I'm just talking out loud here, but do you buy shampoo? Do you have shampoo at home?
I use solid ones.
Beautiful. Do you have a conditioner at home? Do you have skin cream?
Yeah, at one point I have containers, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, one point. Did you have a container? Okay. How many times did you use it when it was full?
What do you mean?
Like you had a shampoo at one point.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, okay, yeah. The fact that it lasts for a long time in my bathroom, that's the idea. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not single use, but yet still a large contributor to degradation. So we have to move our diction away from just single use materials.
By single use, I mean when the content is finished, you are not using the container anymore. That's what I mean by
Great.
Single use.
That's exactly the conversation that has to come further to life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I know that you collect also sometimes flower pots.
We collect all kinds of crazy things. if it's a material that can be identified, we want to collect it. We even collect non-valuable material that then is returned to energy.
Okay.
It goes to a kiln or something like that. It's fire. My whole initiative is to keep plastic out of the ocean. So we have to be able to try to collect all of it while still being a for-profit business.
So because you say that you see a lot of kind of packaging and a type and colors and so on, would you advise packaging designer or manufacturers to use a type of color or shape instead of another because of its impact?
Yeah, of course. Yeah? It should be monomaterial. It should always be monomaterial, and it should be natural. Natural monomaterials. Figure out your label.
The labels does help you on your job or not at all?
No, it doesn't. It confuses the waste stream as well. Certainly, you know, I like embossed as well. You know, Evian created this beautiful bottle, completely embossed, made from recycled content, no label, no nothing, monomaterial. Awesome bottle. Awesome. Spectacular.
That's okay. That's a big, big advice. Monomaterial. Okay, okay.
Because it's easy. I mean, because then the whole thing has value. You don't have to separate it. Mm-hmm. Because it's a very low... can be a very low margin business. So if you've got to take any time to take off the cap and the label and the ring, then you're missing profitability opportunities. So, and even for the poor, when they know that that bottle weighs this much and that's how much that is worth, and that is what should occur.
Yeah.
Standardization should occur. You know, when we get different enclosures, when I get a polypropylene enclosure and a PET bottle and then a label that has PVC in it, And I'm speaking of Western or Northern, you know, economies when they're using optical sorting or other things. I mean, big challenges, right? When they're using, you know, mechanical sorting, it's, you know, we have to make that simpler.
Keep it simple for everyone. Suppliers, like collectors, recyclers, and so on.
Keep it simple. Yeah, totally. To everybody. No question. Yeah. Keep it simple.
Okay. And I am wondering for our audience who are like involved in producing packaging,
sure.
What is the quality of your product compared to raw material ones? And is it compatible with food or?
Yeah, sometimes for sure. Sometimes it uses a layer so that, you know, it's available. could be a third of the package. That's great. You don't have to use 100% of our material. Use it as an additive. Make it 10%, 20%, 5%. Who cares? Just use some of it, right? Make every package that you produce profoundly regenerative for society. Hmm. I mean, you can either be a part of the solution or part of the pollution. You've got one option. Choose.
Okay, great. So in all you got, do you have a favorite resource that you wish that it will be only that in your in the flow?
Well, the polyethylenes are a remarkable, versatile material that can, you know, easily be fiber as well. I mean, there's just so many, you know, do I have a favorite? Personally, my favorite is no material. Personally, my favorite is as little material as possible, right? But if there's something out there that gives versatility, that probably would be it because of the properties. And when it's natural, it allows people to see inside, all, you know, those types of things. Well, anything with a chloride is catastrophic, right? Chloride doesn't lend itself into pyrolysis. It doesn't lend itself into other types of recycling, right? So be careful of those. However, the society is not really using those in many other things. There's more construction and types of things where there's, you know, a need for it, but we should be avoid at all opportunity.
Can you speak what it is?
Chloride, like PVC.
Because not everyone knows.
Sure, PVC, a chloride. Yeah. Right.
I am trying to avoid as much as I can jargon.
Sure, sure. But the audience is packagers, so I made the assumption.
Yeah, no, not only.
Not only, yeah. So yeah, for sure. So ultimately, you know, I would advise anyone, find materials that are easily, you know, where is recycled content available? Go use that. You know, the conversation here is that there's almost 10 trillion kilos of plastic on the earth. Almost all the plastic we've ever produced is still here. Why? Why do we produce more? Why will the world produce almost 500 billion kilos of plastic this year when there's already 10 trillion on the earth?
Hmm.
Why are we not just using what's already here? It's ridiculous that we continue to make. What?
Yeah, the resource is already at your fingertips, right?
It's like, it's almost infinitely recyclable. Even if it's been downcycled into other things, and for sure. And almost all the material we're collecting is virgin. It's been used once, it's virgin. So how many times can I recycle that? A lot. And even when it begins to degrade, I add a small amount of virgin material again to increase property, or I add some chemical to it to change the property back. What? Okay. And of the 10 trillion kilos of plastic that's on the earth, almost all of it being virgin, I've got a lot of material to go collect that I can then add into recycled content to increase its properties as well.
Mm, yeah. And can you recognize when it's...
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Right.
Okay. I ask each guest what burning question they would like to address to a next guest. And the one of Dr. Love S.E. Chili in episode 4 is, what do you see as the best opportunities for technologies like blockchains? And I thought it was a perfect question for you.
Sure.
Yeah, because I have seen that you use a blockchain platform to monetize what you do and build trust. So you even say that alchemy is gamifying the value chain. I am curious to know a bit more about that.
Well, let's go back. Your previous question, can you identify something that was previously recycled? Well, within the blockchain, we can understand exactly where the material came from, who collected it, what areas it collected from, when it was collected, when it was then transitioned into another manufacturing facility. So we can see exactly its lifespan, how long it was in the community or in the environment or the world for. I mean, the blockchain provides authenticity, traceability, provides all those great things.
Okay. And your partners?
And for the partners, they have the ability to see exactly what's occurring as well. And then within what we're doing in the banking, of course, it provides, you know, even more senses of security.
Mm. So they have access to all the metrics and the story behind, I will say.
Exactly. That's what we sell. We sell the change that occurred as a result of their partnership. What we sell is transformation. And they need to see it. We need to prove it. It's more powerful when it's provable. I mean, it's authentic, but when they can see that it's authentic, then it's even more powerful.
That's great. And do you see other kind of opportunities because of blockchains for the future?
You know, listen, for us as well, even the money for us is transacted through what's called a utility token through the blockchain as well. So, you know, when we're transferring money in between recycler, processing partner, logistics, that's all transacted authentically, safely, securely as well. So there's use for it everywhere. Authenticity is valuable. Here's the thing with the blockchain. I'm going to give it a binary example. Binary, one and zero. Let's take a look at falsehood, lies, the untruth. What value would we provide that? Zero, because it's not true. Zero, it's worthless. So then the corollary to that is, what would we give to truth? We'd give truth the value of one. Fact, truth, fact. Untruth is zero. When I apply 1,000 units of energy to zero, what do I get? Zero. When I apply 1,000 units to the truth, I get more truth.
Okay.
That's the blockchain. That's how we use it. How do I apply my energy to the right thing? To multiply its gift and its ability to transform and change.
Kind of philosophical perspective. So thank you for sharing that.
Pleasure.
Super inspiring.
Thank you.
And how your stakeholders can be part of this? And maybe the related question to this is like, what kind of partnerships as key enablers in this kind of system would you like to build more in the future?
Well, more and more people need to be making a demand for social plastic. And even if you're a listener here, even if you're not a packager, what you get to do is you get to go into a retailer and say, hey, Mr. Manager of retail store, show me all those things that have social plastic in them. Show me all those things that have recycled content in them. Show me all those things that are regenerating and repairing the damage that's been done in the world. Show me all those things that have societal benefit, because those are the things that I want to buy. And I'm not going to buy anything else. Ask the manager, ask the store, create the demand for the material, because when you tell that manager, even if he can't show you anything, what occurred was you exhibited that there's a demand for it. And every time you buy something, don't forget you're voting. Every time you buy for it, you vote for it. And if you buy things that are degrading to society, if you buy things that continue to create a demand for virgin content, you have no longer any right to complain.
Yeah, that's true. The vote power of the consumer, definitely.
You're a part of the solution or you're a part of the pollution. That's all.
So picturing that, if you would have a magic wand, mm-hmm. what would you do?
A magic wand?
Yeah.
If I had a magic wand, I'd make it so I would never get fat from eating chocolate. Next question.
Okay.
No, if I had a magic wand, I would lose weight by eating chocolate. Chocolate would be a health food. I would do.
It depends how you like it, right? If you like it right. Very dark, it's okay, you know?
It's okay. Yeah, it's true. I like it. It's all beautiful. I've had a magic wand other than not getting fat from chocolate. You know, I'd bring consciousness. I'd bring awakening. I would create a space where people didn't have fear, self-imposed fear and diminishment. Because ultimately where we are today is that people don't feel that they're whole enough, good enough, smart enough, beautiful, whatever it may be. And they think that buying things will make them that. And by buying things, we're voting for degradation. So consciousness, if I had a magic wand, I'd have everybody be awake. And in that consciousness, war would end, degradation would end, inequality would end, all of it.
It makes me think it's like almost closing a loop, because you said that part of the value is also to let children to go to school. So it's like consciousness start with education, and I like that. It's like really bringing value at all the stage of daily life of people.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So we are coming at the end of our interview, and for those who want to go deeper into the subject, what should they have as their bedside reading? A book, an article, a report maybe, or a link to watch as soon as they have a break available.
Well, everyone should listen or read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Dr. Stephen Covey. It's the effectiveness of life. It's a profound writing that takes people into the verb of love. Take this from the book, this space that love is a verb, it's an action to do for people. You know, love the feeling is the fruit of love the verb. And I just on and on and on and on. The book is profound. I read it annually.
Okay. Wow. I will put that in the show notes. Sure. Thank you. And would you like, at your turn, to address a burning question to a next guest in terms of packaging? Yeah, if it helps you, it can be to designer, producer, business, whatever. It can be specific or broad.
Well, I guess my question is, would you agree that packaging design can save the world?
Okay. That's a bold and broad question, but I love it. Thank you. And how can the audience find you out?
Plasticbank.com, super easy. Go enroll, sign up, be a part of our movement, be aware of what's occurring in the world. And who cares about that? All I care about is you walking into a store and asking the manager to point out those things that have social plastic or recycled plastic in them that are regenerative for society. Who cares about me? Go serve the world. And you serve the world by doing that. And when you do that, the worst case scenario, not only does the manager understand that there's a demand, but you create the space for the manager to ask as well. And you exhibit what it is to be a bold, authentic leader. And you give them the space to be the same.
Okay. I think we will have a lot of curious people. We will discover what you're doing. After chatting with you, I just want to dig a bit more in the subject. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I really love your holistic perspective and very human focus.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And more expansion to change the world and...
Thank you, Colleen.
Prevent... you don't like the word prevent. Avoid plastic.
Yeah, avoid, yeah.
Ocean.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you so much, David.
Thank you.
I hope you have enjoyed this episode. And if it's the case, be sure to subscribe where you get your podcast and leave us a 5-star review to help for its visibility. You also probably have at least 2 or 3 friends or colleagues to share this episode with. Of course, feel free to get in touch by the lookforloops.com website or drop me a line on Colleen Regout LinkedIn profile. Last but not least, be sure to check the show notes with the links and resources. Until next time.